Thank you to Alan for that. I love hearing people's personalities come out in the way they, God uses us in different ways, doesn't he? Because he's made us to be different. So thank you, Alan, for that. Shall I be asking you again? So my ideas for sermons, the way God speaks to me, comes from different places, different ideas, different things that I see. So today's sermon, because I've finished my series, the rest series we've been doing. So this was sparked by something that me and Emma read. We've been using, we use the YouVersion, the Bible app, and we use some of the Bible plans off there. We've been doing Praying Grace for Women, which has been fabulous, have to say. So this was sparked by day 7, which is called A Mystery Revealed. In the devotional, you get a Bible reading and then it gives you some things to think about. The devotional said, for thousands of years, the true nature of God was shrouded in mystery, a bit like a statue under a sheet waiting to be unveiled. There's some hints, some glimpses of him in the Old Testament and from names used to describe him, like in Exodus chapter 14, where they talk about Jehovah Rapha. God said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Gives us a window into who God is. Genesis 24 talks about Jehovah Jireh. So Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Those are glimpses, those are windows into who God is. But they're only glimpses. But who God is and what he was like remained largely unknown. Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Thankfully, though, we've got a bit more than the Old Testament. We don't have to wonder like the Israelites did. We get to have a peek underneath the sheet of the statue. The day 7 of these Praying Grace for Women, this one, this mystery revealed, the Bible readings included John chapter 14, verse 9. So I thought it was worth us hearing the whole passage. So Yvonne is going to come and read John chapter 14 for us.
John 1:14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
So the conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and this is why we get to peek underneath the sheet of the statue. Jesus answered Philip, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" One of the other readings for that day was from Colossians chapter 1. It says this, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. In other words, Jesus is God revealed. Before I trained as a teacher, I did quite a few primary school assemblies. I know David often talks about assemblies. He does big, scary secondary school ones. I didn't. I did primary school assemblies. And we had a phrase where we used to say that Jesus was God in a bod. I think David might have pinched that in one of his sermons recently. But we used to say that Jesus is God in a bod. So everything that we saw in Jesus, that we saw Jesus do, was telling us that that is what God is like. Jesus shows us a living, breathing image of God. He displayed God's character, his ways. We can read in the Gospels about things that Jesus did, and those things tell us exactly who God is. Tell us how he lives, how he treats us, how he reacts to us, what he has to give us, how he loves us. So I'm simply going to look at a few examples today. For some of you, this might be a new, fresh revelation. This might be the first time you've heard some of these things. If so, I hope God really speaks to you about who he is and how he loves you. For some of you, you'll have heard these before. Perhaps today you need a reminder of who he is. And perhaps for some of us, or hopefully for all of us, it reminds us of who we have to offer to all the people who are in our lives. So, I'm going to look at a few examples. I started skimming through the Gospels and picking things out, and I had a list of about 50, and I thought maybe that's slightly too long for today. So I picked out 4. There could have been lots of others. I hope these are the right 4. I hope these speak to you today. So I'm going to read you just a short passage that gives you the explanation of what Jesus was doing, and then I'm just going to give you 1 or 2 thoughts that might help us see who God is and how that relates to us, what a difference it makes that this is who God is. So we're going to start with Mark chapter 4. It's verse 35. So I'm afraid, sorry Dan, I didn't think to tell him to put them up on the screen. He'll have to just listen to me. So Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. Jesus calms the storm. Talks about Jesus being in charge. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The Life Application Bible, the notes that go with it, say the Sea of Galilee's position with hills around make it liable to violent and unexpected storms. The disciples were seasoned fishermen used to the lake, but even they panicked in this situation. In verse 38, Jesus is asleep. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" they say in desperation. The disciples felt abandoned and scared. They'd seen his power in other situations, but they were still scared by this situation that they were in the middle of. Jesus was showing them that he could do things that only God could do, like when he parted the Red Sea so Moses and the Israelites could get through safely from Egypt. But he's also showing that everything, everything is under his control. I think we can so easily feel that we have to be in control, that everything's up to us to deal with, to sort out, to put right, to cope with. Or perhaps we can feel that everything is out of control and that we've no hope. Perhaps we feel that God feels like this about things like we do, that he feels, perhaps he gets overwhelmed and feels hopeless and he's surprised and doesn't know what to do. This story tells us that this is not true. This is not who Jesus was there. This is not the glimpse of God that this gives us. This story shows us that things that are beyond us are not beyond God. Whether they're unexpected to us, whether they take us by surprise, whether we can see them coming, whether we've dealt with it before or not, this story tells us that things are not beyond God. A fabulous line from Philippa Hannah song that says, "For you are God and I am not." What a relief that we don't have to be in charge. We don't have to sort everything out. We can go straight to God who can. Maybe this morning you need to know, or you need a reminder to know, that nothing is beyond God. Nothing surprises him. Nothing overwhelms him. Nothing creeps up and he doesn't know what to do. This story about Jesus calming the storm tells us that nothing is beyond God. There's nothing that he can't deal with. Story number two is from Mark chapter 1. It's about Jesus healing a man with leprosy. So it's showing us that he heals, but also that he's got compassion. So I'm reading Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 40. "A man with leprosy came to him," to Jesus, "and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. 'See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and after the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.' Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere." Like a Life Application Bible, again, back to the note, says that in keeping with the law in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, Jewish leaders declared that people with leprosy were unclean. So they couldn't take part in any religious or social activity. And even worse, because the law said that contact with an unclean person made you unclean, some people threw rocks at the lepers to keep them at a safe distance. Even the mention of the name leprosy terrified people. But Jesus reached out and touched him. What struck me when I was reading this again, as well as the healing, which is miraculous, was verse 41 that said Jesus was filled with compassion. He saw the man, he saw his need, and he reached out to help him. We see this again and again in Jesus' life and ministry. It wasn't a chore. He wasn't disgusted. He wasn't frustrated at the interruption. He was filled with compassion for people in difficult situations. That's how he sees us. Compassion for how we feel and struggle. Whether that's an inward struggle or an outward struggle. Something we carry inside or something that other people can see. He sees us. He reaches out with compassion. Nobody and nothing is beyond his reach or his compassion. As many of you know, I work with young children, and my young children are not always the most hygienic, I think is the word. We do quite a bit of holding hands and walking in circles, and there are times, I must be honest, when I'm not keen to hold somebody's hand because I've seen what they've just done with it just before. There's times when I come home with something because I have scarves and props. And there's times when I come home and just drop something in front of the washing machine and David said, what's happened to that? So, well, you don't really want to know. Do you imagine sometimes that that's how God is with us? With the unsavoury bits of our lives? Perhaps that he keeps us at a distance. That he separated us. That he carries it, touches it and just gets rid of it as quick as possible. This story of Jesus' encounter with the leper shows us that that's not true. He's there. He's reaching out. He's touching. Maybe this morning you need to know that God sees you and loves you and reaches out to you with compassion. Maybe this morning you need a reminder of that. He doesn't look at us with disgust or anger or apathy. He reaches out with compassion because he loves us. Story number three is from Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Jesus blessing the little children. I see one or two of you flicking. I made it easy. They're all in the same gospel, so we're not flicking through loads and loads. So Mark chapter 10, the little children and Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Life application notes say that Jesus was often criticized for spending too much time with the wrong people. Children, tax collectors, sinners, women, lepers. Some people thought that Jesus should spend more time with important people, with the leaders and the devout, to improve his position, to avoid criticism. Jesus chose to spend his time with the people who needed him most. I bet most of us feel ordinary most of the time. Not special, not significant, not important. Perhaps we know that God loves people unconditionally, that we've nothing to prove and nothing to earn. But it's so easy to slip into that way of thinking. Of living. So easy to compare our lives, our faith, our answers to prayer even. Jesus shows us how God sees us. Children in New Testament times were not important. They were not considered. They were not welcomed. They were not doted on. They were just there and got on quietly. But Jesus saw them and he saw their value. Maybe today you need to know that you're important to God. Not because of anything you can do, anything you have done, anything you have, anything you're going to promise to do. Maybe today you need a reminder, or you need to know that we're important to God because he made you. Individually, special, precious, unique. Perhaps we need to remember that when we're looking at Facebook, when we're seeing what other people's children are doing, we're getting exam results, when we're comparing our lives, we remember that Jesus values us because he made us. So I looked at Jesus being in charge, about how he deals with compassion, how we're important. So the final story, and this is a treat. This is a treat for me. Hopefully it's a treat for you. I was so tempted to read them all from here, but I thought I'd save this for the last one. This is Bob Hartman's rhyming Bible. Those people who know me know that I love a rhyme. Bob Hartman is brilliant at writing, at retelling the Bible stories. So this is the story of the feeding of the 5,000 from Mark chapter 6. Feel free to find it, but this might have some slightly different words in it. This is how God provides. Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's called Rumbling Tummies. But it doesn't say that in the NIV, does it? Jesus was teaching way up on a hill when everyone started grumbling. The town's far away. We've been here all day. And everybody's tummy is rumbling. Everybody's tummy is rumbling. Find them something to eat, Jesus said to his friends. But where? They all answered, mumbling. It will take lots of cash, yes, quite a big stash, to stop all these tummies rumbling. To stop all these tummies rumbling. A boy here, said Andrew, gave me his lunch and passed it to Jesus, fumbling. Jesus just said, two fish and some bread. It's enough to stop tummies rumbling. It's enough to stop tummies rumbling. Jesus thanked God, then tore up the cod and the bread too, the whole lot crumbling. Sit folk on the ground, then pass it around and we'll stop all these tummies rumbling. We'll stop all these tummies rumbling. So they carried that food all around the hill, rushing and running and stumbling. From one little lunch, Jesus fed the whole bunch till nobody's tummy was rumbling. Nobody's tummy was rumbling. There were leftovers too, 12 baskets in all, stacked so high they nearly went tumbling. 5,000 at least shared in that feast with nobody's tummy left rumbling. With nobody's tummy left rumbling. Isn't that a fabulous version? Fantastic. So the life application says, a situation that seems impossible with human resources is simply an opportunity for God. The disciples did everything they could by gathering the available food and organising the people. And Jesus did the rest. How often do we feel inadequate, that what we have to offer isn't really worth offering? Our skills, our resources, ourselves. And yet, this story where a boy offers what he has and Jesus does a miracle with it is a reminder that God doesn't need an impossible amount from us. He needs us to offer what we have and he works through that. I was talking to my sister-in-law on Friday. She's given me permission to share this. Talking to my sister-in-law on Friday, and they met. They like cruising. I know a few people here like cruising. They met a couple on a cruise last year, kept in touch a little bit. They've had some discussion about faith. So their friends rang them last week to say that they booked their next cruise. So with the same company. So there's four ships. Maybe you could call them a ship, cruise ship. Liner, four. There's four ships. There's 2.5 years worth of 2.5 weeks. Yeah, 2.5 years worth that they could be booking cruises for at the moment. So perhaps we get Alan back up to do his mental maths and work that out for us. So 2.5 years worth. So that's 50, 100, 125 times four, 500. There's 500 different options of the next cruise that my sister-in-law's friends could go on. And guess what? They're booked on exactly the same cruise, on the same ship, in the same week as my sister-in-law. Is that a coincidence, Bonnie? No. Definitely not. It's not a coincidence. John and Lindsay have offered to God their love of cruising, their faith, their friendliness, their experiences. And God is putting people in their path and putting them in their path again to develop and build relationships. They've offered what they have. God is doing the rest. Maybe this morning you need to know that what you have and are is enough when offered to God. Maybe you need a reminder that what you have is special in God's hands. There are lots of examples of all these things I've talked about this morning in the New Testament, and plenty of others. I could have picked loads of other stories about Jesus forgiving sinners, about him tackling hypocrisy, about him healing, about him delivering, about him teaching, about him caring. Lots of ways that we can see who God is, and that can give us confidence to know who we are because of who God is. Final bit from the devotion. It says, every day of his earthly ministry, Jesus loved, healed, received, welcomed, forgave, blessed, delivered, and comforted. With the frail and fragile, he was gentle. With the desperate, he was available. With the unlovely, he was kind. With the outcast, he was accepting. He noticed the overlooked, and he valued the discarded. And he did all those things because he is God, and to show us who God is and how God treats us. So how is the truth of who God is and treats us going to affect you today? How you think and feel and live and act? And who do you know that needs to know what you know? That's a lot of no's, isn't it? Who do you know who needs to know what you know about God? Amen. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing the song that we started the service with, that we sang just before the service. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The words in the chorus are fabulous. When I feel afraid, when I think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. It's a reminder of who God is, what we can hope for, because we know him. Let's sing that together. Ooh. Bonus. We're going to pray. I'm going to stay here. I hope that's okay. You're going to have your eyes closed, so it doesn't really matter where I'm standing. So we're going to pray. I don't know what God has to say to you this morning. I don't know your situations, but I do know that he sees us all, and he has things to say to us all. I know he speaks in different ways, but my job is not to tell you what God is saying to you. My job is to give you space to hear from God yourselves. Let's pray. Firstly, Lord, we do want to say thank you. Thank you that you are awesome. Thank you that you love unconditionally, that you offer forgiveness and healing, that you provide. Thank you that Jesus came so we could know you more. Thank you that you reach out to each of us, whoever we are, whatever our lives, whatever we know. Thank you that you reach out to each of us individually. So we just, as we remember the stories, the glimpses, the peeking under the sheet that we've done this morning, we bring to you those situations where we need to know that you're in charge. Things in our lives, things in the world, things in the lives of our friends and family. Father God, we bring them to you because we are confident of who you are and what you can do. Father, thank you for showing us that you are filled with compassion. I pray for any this morning that need to know that you reach out, that you don't hesitate. Father, thank you for the ways you show us that you value everybody, not just those that society value. Help us, Lord, to see our value in you, because you made us, because you love us, because you died for us. Challenge us, Lord, with our attitude to others. When we need reminders to act with your value of people, nudge us, Lord. Show us. Help us to do it in your strength. Thank you for being a God who provides, a God who has enough, a God who never runs out, a God who gives freely and willingly and plentifully. Show us, Lord, what we have to offer you. Give us bold faith to see how you're going to work through it for your glory, to bring your kingdom. Lord, I pray for anybody this morning who doesn't know you, anybody who's wondering, anybody who's asking questions, anybody that's never responded to your love. Lord, I pray that they can experience you, take that bold step of trusting you, of receiving your love, your forgiveness, your hope, your courage and your strength. Final verse of the song we sang said, I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Help us, Lord, to see you, to worship you, to trust you, to live our lives full of you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.